You are listening to Behind the Avatar, the podcast that gets to know the people behind the characters they play and what makes them tick. Hello, my name is Lita, and today I am chatting with Mark Honan. Hey, Mark Honan, thank you for coming to chat with me today.
Good morning, Lita. Thank you for having me.
Oh, you're quite welcome. I'm looking forward to this chat. So we're going to talk a bit about how we play or how you play World of Warcraft and the things that you do. And I'm can't wait to hear these answers. So let's get started. How long have you been playing World of Warcraft?
Well, at some point in 2005 is when I started. I started probably 9 months before BC came out. So okay. I'm a vanilla baby, if there's such a thing.
Nice. And before you came to playing World of Warcraft, did you play other games at all?
Well, my family raised me on Nintendo, so I had an Atari.
Yeah.
But my family bought, you know, the Nintendo, Super Nintendo, N64, all that stuff. So I grew up in a game, you know, grew up gaming, both my sister and I. And then I got into PC gaming when we got our first Windows PC at home, because my mom worked a little bit from home,
yep.
And she did information systems stuff. So we had old monochrome screens that she would sometimes connect through the phone line to work. You know, so back before there was the internet, my mom kind of had the internet in a way. You know,
oh, how cool.
So it was actually kind of cool.
Yeah.
So like when I heard about the internet, I was like, oh, you mean that thing my mom does on the weekends at work? Oh, okay, that's kind of boring.
Yeah.
but I grew up playing like Where in Time is Carmen Sandiego. There was some Sesame Street games on the old monochrome 5 1/4 inch floppy disks. And so, you know, I've had a lot of gaming history. So
nice.
And WoW is not even my first MMO. It's my second one. So
oh, okay.
I've been in the game a while.
Yeah. So what was your very first MMO?
Well, I am a huge fan of the Matrix movies, and I saw when they released, gosh, it was the DVD for the second, for Revolutions.
Yeah.
And I saw on the thing, there's this new game called The Matrix Online. And beforehand, I thought the whole MMO model was stupid. I was like, I'm going to buy a game. If I'm going to pay $50 for a game, I want that to be it. I don't want to have to keep paying for something that I've already bought. Well, I certainly changed my mind. So, but the Matrix Online was a fantastic game. It was kind of overlooked by most people, but we had a real tight knit community together. You know, just a few hundred players. We were really tight. We held in game events, all this cool stuff. I used to be an online DJ for a couple of internet radio stations, and we would broadcast from the game. We would be sitting in one of the clubs in the city say, hey guys, come join us, we're gonna do a give out contest. You know, be like somebody DJing from the Inn in Westfall or something like that, or Goldshire or something. And it was a really cool game, and I miss it because they pulled the plug after 4 years. I was sitting there, I was actually on vacation in Florida when they pulled the plug, and I was sitting there on my laptop till 2 a.m. you know, hanging out with everybody, even the devs and all the developers were there, you know, guys, thanks for making such a good game. And they pulled the plug and we're like, oh man.
Wow.
So I actually played both at the same time. But then after Matrix Online shut down, WoW came to the forefront. And so that's when I kind of fully converted over to being, you know, a WoW player.
Okay. All right. And then how did you actually come to playing World of Warcraft?
Well, it was kind of two things at once, because, you know, I was really big into the Matrix Online, and I had heard about WoW, of course, and EverQuest and all the other games, but I don't know, I'm not really that big of a fantasy buff. I like fantasy, but sci-fi is more where I hang my hat, you know. So I was like, I like fantasy, but, you know, I like this cyberpunk, you know, gritty martial arts thing. And so I was doing that, and my best friend Daniel, he plays Durfin in game, he's my best friend, and he would always talk about it, and I'd be like, yeah, that's nice, that sounds cool. And then I saw the South Park episode, Make Love Not Warcraft.
Yep.
And both the good and the bad connotations that come from that. And I
Yep.
was like, you know, that actually looked pretty cool. So I came to him, went to college a couple of days later. And I was like, Daniel, okay, what do I need to do to try this game out? And that's how it started. So I can
Wow.
credit Durfin for that. So I thank him for it. In
Nice.
fact, I've got some Christmas presents I bought at BlizzCon that I
Yep.
bought for him and his wife. So I'm going to deliver those tomorrow.
Oh,
So
nice.
he can thank me for this addiction that has taken my whole life.
Awesome. Oh, that's very, very cool. So then
Yep.
let's talk about, well, as long as I've known you, you've been Mark Konnan. So where did that gaming name come from, or that toon name come from?
Well, when I first started, I would make a realm class combination because I was in marching band and concert band in college, and a lot of us played. And when they found out that I got on there, like, oh, dude, you got to make a tune on my server. No, you got to make one on my server. On my server. So I had like five or six friends that wanted me to make a tune on their server. So what I would do is all of them were alliance. So I would pick a different alliance race class combination, a human warlock here, another tune here. And when I picked the server that Daniel played on, I was like, well, I'm gonna make a night elf, or I'm gonna make a gnome mage. And so I was sitting there thinking about, well, what should I name him? Because I like to put a little bit of thought into my characters' names, and not just kind of rattle off Hunter number three or something like that. So I was like, well, and I was thinking, and I was like, hey, this guy is a mage, so maybe an M name, and my dad's name is Mark. So I was like, okay, Mark, but it's Markonen. There we go. So I was kind of like, I kind of combined Conan the Barbarian, but changed the A to an I, and then kind of squished the two together. Or Conan O'Brien, one of the two. I can't remember which one was the inspiration first. So I guess
Nice.
maybe Conan O'Brien, because he's a really tall guy to
Yep.
be part of the name of a really short guy. So
Yeah.
that's kind of how I came up with the name. So
Oh,
some
wow.
people ask me if it's weird that in game they call me, Mark for short. It's like, isn't that weird that they call you by your dad's name sometimes? And I was like, well, I'm used to it, so not really. Plus, they don't know my dad, so
Yeah,
so
exactly.
yeah, that's where I
Okay.
came up with him.
Wow. Okay, that's very cool. So then, what influences you when you do name a new tune? Do you have particular things that you like to follow through with your alt characters?
Well, I kind of like, I know I'm not the only one, is I like coming up with characters that their names mean something else in a different language. For instance, my Worgen warrior, her name is Jasna or Jasna. It's Slavic for sharp. It's sharp in Slavic. So, I mean, she's got claws, she's a warrior, so I mean that's her name, Jasna. And so it's I go with that. I've got a shaman named Tindrich, which is lightning in either Celtic or Gaelic, one of the two, because she's a dwarf, so I kind of play off that. So most of the time I do that kind of naming conventions, although some of my characters have weird names, like the day Billy Mays died, the great big commercial, random things as seen on TV seller guy. When the day he died, I was like, oh, that's sad. I kind of liked him. So I made a human paladin that looks like him and named him Billy Mays. So
Oh, okay.
he's
Wow.
and I tank with him. He's my tank. So whenever I pop into a five man, I'll just type in all caps, Billy Mays here for tanking your dungeon, and then just kind of throw my shield and keep on going. So it's kind of, most of the time it's got a meaningful, there's a lot of, stuff behind it. Or if I make a tune with a friend, we'll go with something similar to each other, but it, most of the time I put some thought into my characters' names.
Well, that's very cool. So then, do you remember the very first character you ever rolled?
I do. His name was Archduke, and that's because my main character on the Matrix Online, and also was my nickname back in my arcade days when I used to go to, video game arcades and do competitive play. My nickname over there was Archduke, so that was kind of a holdover from back then. And he was a Night Elf Druid on Deathcus. I remember that server.
So what was the thing about choosing a night elf and a druid that first, for your very first character? What was the thing that intrigued you about that?
Well, my friends, one of my friends from the Matrix Online let me borrow his account, his second account, and that was the one that I first tried it out on. And so he was Alliance on that server, so I was like, okay, well, I'm gonna pick Alliance. And I was looking through all the races, and I was like, humans are too plain. I don't know about dwarves. I don't like those beards. And I kept flipping through them, and I was like, well, I like the way the night elves look. They're pretty cool looking. Okay, well, I can see what I can be. And I was kind of looking at the different, the different classes, and I was like, well, the druids seem kind of cool. You can be just about anything. Well, that's versatile. So I was like, okay, night elf druid it is. And that's how he started.
Okay. So do you still have that character on your account?
No, my friend that let me borrow his account for that one quit playing ages ago.
Oh,
So
okay.
I don't have the login information for that or anything, and it's I've lost touch with him. So there's no way to kind of get that back. He's probably deleted it anyway. But
Oh, okay.
when I got my own account with WoW, I made another Night Elf Druid on my home server, named him Archduke, and he's sitting at level 85, and he was my tank back in ICC. So he lives
Okay.
on. He looks the exact same. So
Yeah.
I consider him my still care still my
He's
first character.
living on. Oh, that's
Yes.
cool. Nice. Okay. Very, very interesting. I really need to take stats of everyone with their first characters that they rolled, because I think Night Elf seems to be predominant.
That's what I've noticed, yeah.
But I think hunters somehow are winning the class out at the moment. So, but it's
Yeah, I
interesting.
would definitely agree.
So, okay. Well, do you remember your very first guild that you were in when you first started playing?
The Kamikaze Kings on Draka. Yes, I
Oh,
do.
okay. Yeah. And is that guild still around today?
I don't think so. There was I was still kind of playing the Matrix Online predominantly at that point, so I didn't really, and I was a guild I was a guild master on there, and I ran my guild, so I was kind of, all my attention was focused over there. And so, I'd heard that there was a mix up or something, some kind of drama maybe. And all my friends, my real life friends that were on that server and that guild with me, they moved elsewhere. And so I just kind of was like, okay, well, I'll go with you guys. And, been in several servers, several guilds since then. But yeah, it's I do remember Kamikaze Kings. I had fun though. As little as I played back then, I did enjoy it. And there's still a couple of people I know from that guild that are still
Oh, okay.
poking around WoW, and I talk to them every once in a while.
Oh, wow. That's very interesting. How cool is that? Okay, so then now I never like to assume when I ask this question, but because people sometimes do surprise me, but what is your favorite class and why is that?
Well, I would have to. It's kind of a toss-up, but mages clearly win out because I have 390 mages,
Three?
and
Wow,
for
okay.
someone to do that, you have to at least appreciate the class a little bit, or just be completely insane, which the jury's still out on that one for me.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Okay. Three. I only thought you had two. Wow. Okay.
No, I've got my troll AIE, and then I've got my gnome, and then I have a night elf over on Stormreach because I had some friends that I met that were actually my co-host Rayanne. Her and her husband are Stormreach, so I made a tune over there, and so that's where he is. And I did some raiding back in Cataclysm with a guild over there. So I do have three, and I have a couple more younglings floating around on other servers, but not working on any of them right now. But I just I don't know. Mages, I don't know. I dig the range DPS thing. I mean, and I do love tanking. Healing is something that I've never done. Well, I tried it once and I didn't really like it, so I haven't really done much healing. But the range DPS is nice because I get to see the whole fight. Like, I'm not, if I'm melee or tanking, I'm either staring at the boss's crotch or the boss's butt, and you don't get much variation on that. So I like being kind of at the back, watching all the things flying around, ooh, pretty, and all that. And plus, there's just something cool about rearing my hand back, charging up this blast of energy, just chunking it right at the boss. It's very satisfying to just sit there and throw fireballs or ice bombs or arcane blasts at something. So it's kind of just,
It is
I don't know.
fun.
It just that's the way I like to play.
I totally agree. It is fun when you get to sit right back and you can see the surrounding and how, especially in a raid, you know, how everyone plays their part, what they've got to do. It's like a dance. It's a bit like a dance,
Oh yeah, it
and
really is.
just watching that when you're melee, you don't see that. You definitely don't see that. So yeah, it's good
Oh yeah.
fun.
Yeah,
Okay.
I've been taking my monk through the through LFR,
Oh,
and
okay.
he's a
Yep.
Windwalker monk, and it's a whole different world playing as melee, and I'm like, well,
Yeah.
I mean, and it's not bad because I enjoy the monk class too. You know, I really like how they play, and I wish I had a brewmaster monk because I named my monk after my favorite beer, and I want him to be able to throw beer at things, but I just have not had the time or effort to get him a good tanking set yet.
Yeah.
But it's a whole different world for being melee, so
Well,
not
wait till
bad. I just, you
Warlords
know.
comes out. You'll be able to do that. So, yeah. So, are you excited about the new expansion?
I am. I really am. I was honestly very surprised about the direction that we're going because I didn't, you know, in a way it feels like a step back because we are going back, but I understand how the devs are talking about how, you know, most of us WoW players came along after Warcraft 1, 2, and 3. I mean, I did play some Warcraft 2 and a lot of Warcraft 3, again, Daniel's fault. But I played all that, so I was kind of I knew who Arthas was. So when it said the, you know, the Lich King, I was like, ooh, I know that guy. I did the Calling of Strathholme mission. I know this. But you know, a lot of players, especially today after 9 years of being out, a lot of the players don't know anything about how the wars went before World of Warcraft, about all those games and those characters. And there's a lot of rich history and a lot of rich characters that they could, you know, bring out and really flesh out. So for that, I'm happy because it's going to be, you know, it's new stuff, but it's weird because it's, I don't know, I don't like for it to get all, for lack of a better term, wibbly wobbly timey wimey because, you know, it kind of confuses things around, and I'm like, well, how is this going to work with the portal? Oh, he goes back in time, creates a parallel dimension, and then he steers that dimension to hook up with our dark portal. So it's kind of like a weird episode of Stargate. Oh, I get you. And so it's kind of but I'm definitely excited about it. I am looking forward to seeing how garrisons are going to go. I got to try out the opening little bit at BlizzCon,
Oh,
and
okay.
man, I got to recreate Markkonen as closely as I could because his hairstyle is that Doc Brown mad scientist hair that you can't get at the character select screen. You have to like go to the barber shop and
Shop
do that.
together.
So I made him as close as I could and walked around, and I accidentally took a couple pictures of the screen when I wasn't supposed to, but I didn't know that. So I have a screenshot of him doing a little gnome dance, and it looks amazing, and I just cannot wait for everybody to see it and do that. Oh,
Okay.
it's going to be so good. It's going to be a hopefully a good expansion. I don't know who they're going to have as the big bad guy at the end since they haven't said. And so it's, you know, it's anybody's guess really. But I am looking forward to it. I really enjoyed Mists. I think
Oh,
Mists, as far
yes.
as the story and how rich it was, has got to be my favorite expansion so far. And a lot of people will discount it. Like, oh, it's just Kung Fu Panda. I've converted people over after saying, give me 5 minutes to tell you why this is not Kung Fu Panda. And they were like, all right, fine. And so I'll start explaining all this stuff. And I was like, you realize that they've got 10,000 years of lore to create? This is a blank slate. This is the first time they really get to let they get the gears turning. And so it's just, oh, it was a really great expansion, and I'm really glad they came out with it. So, but yeah, after this, I'm ready for Warlords. I'm definitely going to miss Pandaria, but you can always go back. I'm a mage. I just teleport.
Yeah, exactly. But no, I mean, you're right. I'm very excited for Warlords. I'm not worried really about what Blizzard is going to give us because I've enjoyed, Mists myself, and they're just I don't know, each expansion Blizzard just seems to get better and better. So I'm extremely excited about Warlords. So Can't wait to see what they do. But yeah.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And also Metzen at BlizzCon, Metzen says, you know, guys, this isn't the end. We have a lot more story for you. Things are only getting better if you'll just come along for the ride.
Yeah.
And so that's, you know, even if I did have some qualms about Warlords, and I could,
yeah,
I'm still, you know, they're still getting my money one way or another because they're amazing storytellers and they let us get to be inside that story. So I mean, there's not hardly anything better than that. So
Yeah.
I'm on board anyway. So
Yeah, exactly. Do you read any of the books yourself? The Blizzard books at all?
well, the only one that I've actually finished was, oh gosh, I even forgot the name, the one about the fall of Theramore. Oh, what's the name of that book?
Jana.
Yes, yeah, the one, Tides of War.
Tides of
Yes,
War, yep.
that's the only one that I've read all the way through. I started The Shattering, but it kind of fell by the wayside, and I really, that's something I've been wanting to do, is go back and
Oh,
read
you
all
have
those
to.
books,
When you get
because
the
yeah.
chance, definitely. I find that the books, I love my lore. I whatever medicine gives me, it's like just give me the lore.
Yes.
I just absorb it. So, but reading the books and playing the game is, as much as there is lore inside the game, I find that, reading the books or reading some of the comics and the various things that they bring out, it helps give sometimes different perspectives on stuff other than just seeing it in game. Do you find that?
I agree, because I saw, I read, Tides of War, and I'm a mage. I associate myself as a mage, whenever I'm in the game, and to see, just to read that happening about Garrosh doing that to even his own people, and dropping the bomb on Theramore, and how Ronan sitting there sacrificing himself, and there's chunks Jaina through the portal at the last second, and just destroys the city. I mean, that was powerful stuff. It energized me. It filled me with just, we have to get this guy. He has got to pay for what he's done to my people, because I'm a mage, and I was like, and her assistant, it was a little gnome,
Oh,
and
yes.
oh, and that tore me up inside.
Oh,
And
definitely.
it really gives you, it gave me pause the first time I went to Theramore after I did the scenario, and it's just a crater. I walked around that thing for about a half hour, just walking around, just like, my gosh, this is a dark place, and plus, when they did the scenario, when they did that, they opened it up as a pre-release event for Mists of Pandaria, and they had that loot that you could get at the end. They had Ronan's staff, his actual staff,
That's
as one of
right.
the possible rewards. I played that. I ran that thing for 4 hours or so, almost a whole week before it finally dropped on my gnome, and so I kept it. And it's when and other than whenever my transmog lends itself to an orange staff, it's always the staff I transmog to,
Oh,
and
cool.
because it's the only orange staff of that style you can get. You can get one off, I think, of Jiraxis, but it's blue or purple or something. But the only orange one, the only one that's actually Ronan's, we can't get anymore. And so I had to have it,
Oh,
because I
nice.
hadn't read it. I'd read the book, and I was like, this is heavy stuff. I have to keep it,
Very
But yeah, I
cool.
totally agree that the books really, it kind of makes the game come alive in a way that you don't get if you don't read them. Because like Jaina's assistant, or Jaina's apprentice, you would never know about her, or her parents that live in Dalaran, and it's just,
Very true.
it's good, very good stuff. And so yeah, you're right. I definitely have to go back and start reading some more of them. I really want to read Arthas, because I've
Oh,
heard that's a fantastic book.
yes. Yeah, you have to read that and then talk to me after you've read that and we'll discuss it.
Def
Love
I okay,
it
I
has to be
definitely
one of
will.
my favorite books. It really is great. But anyway, sorry, I wasn't meaning to get us off on track on
Hey,
books, but
no worries, no
yeah,
worries
that's
at
cool.
all.
So what
Okay.
aspects of the game do you most enjoy when playing World of Warcraft?
Well, most of the year I travel a lot for my job and work third shift, so I don't really have the opportunity to have a weekly raid team. So most of the year I don't get to, but right now I'm on a flex raid team a couple nights a week, and so I'm really enjoying getting back into the raiding scene, at least non-LFR raiding, because that, you know, half the time I'll fall asleep during an LFR because we're just, you know, it's kind of boring.
Yeah.
But I get to be in this flex team with a lot of people, a lot of them that I met at BlizzCon, so I get to kind of keep up with them, and it's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So right now that aspect is probably my favorite, but most of the time I'll either work on alts or, you know, I'll work on my main doing achievements, and especially mounts, because I'm a big mount collector.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm always on the hunt for new mounts and working towards some of the harder to find ones. So that's kind of,
oh, good.
That's usually how I game.
Uh-huh. How many mounts have you got so far?
204 maybe.
Nice. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome.
It's a hair over 200 because I got the Sky Golem. My hunter is my engineer. And so when I heard about this mech, I was like, that's fantastic. It requires an engineer. Okay, cool. So I grabbed my engineer and I had her ready to go.
Yeah.
And I since I'm an alchemist, I was able to transmute all the living steel that I needed before the patch even dropped.
Yep.
And so as soon as that patch hit, I had her out in the Vale killing things until she got the book.
Yeah.
And then every day I would have her mine up enough ghost iron to get the energy sources. And so 30 days to the dot, I made mine, and everybody else was flooding them through the auction house. And I was this one's mine. So I kept it.
Oh, nice.
And that's what pushed me at. That's what made me hit 200. And then I got the armored Dragonhawk from that.
Yeah.
So including Horde mounts, which I'm starting to collect. It's more than that. Mm-hmm. But Jan Markkonen, 203. I've got a couple extra ones on my Paladin because, you know, cool. Chargers don't count.
Yep.
But yeah, just over 200.
Nice. Oh, that's awesome. I'm not far behind you, but that's very, very cool. So yes, I must admit, mount collecting is something I do enjoy as well. So, okay, let's talk about now, with all the years that you've played World of Warcraft, I'm going to ask you for one memorable moment. So I know it's probably a hard one to choose, but have you got a memorable moment from playing World of Warcraft?
I absolutely do.
Okay.
And I knew it as soon as you asked. It's the moment that I got my first Arthas kill.
Oh,
and
nice.
It's, oh man. And it was 2 weeks before Cataclysm came out. So it's a legitimate end. You know, I've never been a huge hardcore raider, and in fact we were a pretty casual team, and about 80% of that 10 man were people that I knew in real life from college, and we were all, you know, a lot of them had, you know, some of them had graduated like I did and they had real jobs and all this other stuff, but we still came together to kind of work on getting through Ice Crown.
Yeah.
And we it was a monumental thing. It was so fun. We you know, of course we were fighting him, going through it. We'd been working on it for a couple hours, and it was getting close to the end of raid night, and we were just hammering away at him, and we you know, lost a couple people to the defiles, to the transitions, everything there. He's whittling us down a little by little. I get carried off by a Valkyrie and thrown out. And I'm like, oh no, you know, cause we didn't have enough DPS to do that. And it ended up being, I think, it was my friend Sean was the tank. And then we had my friend, Laura was the only DPS. She was a hunter, so she was DPSing.
Yep.
And then we had one healer left, and we were sitting there fighting, and he's at, like, you know, 15% health, 14% health, 13, 12, 11, 10%, and he kills everybody. And the whole vent just screams, because we know, like, we've got him, don't release, we got him. And we're just sitting there screaming and everything, carrying on. And then he rezzed us. And then we just unload on him and get the kill. It was the most fantastic night of WoW that I think I've ever had. Just, it was the best, you know, victory feeling that you could possibly imagine in this game. And it was just, you know, and in fact, I don't know if the picture I sent you had my staff on my back or not on the transmog, but that is the staff that I got off of Arthas on that first kill. because the spell power staff dropped, and you know, I didn't necessarily need it, but I was like, I'm taking this, you know. And one of my friends was a priest healer, and he's like, hey man, can I have that? I was like, no, I'm taking it. That's mine.
It's not for you. Okay. Yeah.
I'm pulling rank. This thing's my. Yeah. That was the best experience I've had in WoW. Just a singular experience. It's been a great run.
It might be that staff, actually. I'm not sure. It's the blue. It's got the blue crystal with the purple.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's it. Yep. That's the staff.
And there'll be a picture on my blog page, people. So go check Mark Onan out, because he looks super cute for a gnome mage. So yeah, very, very cool. Okay, well, that's awesome. I mean, having that memorable moment with against the Lich King, amazing, because that fight in itself back in the day was an amazing fight. So I think
it really, really was.
Was one of the best. I don't know. It's hard to say, but definitely one of the best fights. That Blizzard has done for an end boss. So was huge fun. Okay.
It was a very good way to finish the expansion too.
Yes.
Because they just, after all that build up of this big bad guy from the first moment.
Yeah.
You know, first day you see that guy and you're like, we're taking you out.
Yeah.
To finally get that huge fight. It was a good way to send him off as a character.
So
they did good.
Again, I'd read Arthas right before Wrath came out, I think it was, or very, very early in the piece. So by the time we got to the end of the expansion and Lich King or ICC, I've always had a. It was definitely hard to kill, you know, to kill him for me because of what I'd read. So again, you have
absolutely.
To read Arthur. So yeah.
Okay. I'm gonna go out and buy it this weekend and give it a read.
Yeah. Let me know what you think. Okay.
Absolutely.
So what is a typical day like for you when you get to sit down? Because I know you're super busy with your job and you have, you know, some times when it's limited playtime, I'm saying. So what is a typical time like for you when you get to sit down, you log into the game? Do you have a ritual of things that you do, or is it random? Like, what do you normally do?
Well, lately I've had a bit of a routine because I recently moved my main Marconin over from Draka, that's been my home server since vanilla, moved it over to Airy Peak to join the Convert to Raid Guild. So I could only take, you know, you can only take at max 50,000 gold with you. So I've been wanting to build up some gold. So every day I'll go buy some ghost iron and transmute all of that into trillium, because I'm a transmute spec alchemist. So get a couple extra procs off that. And then occasionally I'll get a nice living steel proc. And so I'll just sell that every day.
Yeah.
And then I go back home to Draka and I get on my warlock. She's my tailor and I've been making royal satchels. So I'll do the daily cooldown with her. But recently I've been working her farming up so I can get more motes of harmony so I can make the bags quicker. So I've been doing that. And then my engineer, my hunter, she's the one with Blingtron, and you know there's two mounts that drop from Blingtron, so I have to do it every day because
actually I don't think they exist, really.
Yeah,
they don't.
I've heard legends. I've heard rumors of it existing.
Yeah.
So I got to at least try because you make a little bit of money off of Blingtron every day, so it kind of makes up.
Yeah.
You know, all the little gray vendor items. You know, you get a couple hundred gold every couple of weeks or so. So you know, it's not bad, but. So okay. I'll do all three of those, and then if it's a Tuesday, I haven't done it as much lately because my gnome doesn't need any gear off of Ordos or the Celestials because he doesn't PvP, and I've already got the pants and gloves, so I don't need those. Yep. Thankfully, I've had good drop rates on them, but I'll hop on my monk, and do some LFR. Or I'll hop on my paladin and try and gear him up through the Timeless Isle because I'm a little bit nervous about tanking because he doesn't have a ret set to speak of. So I'm trying to build up his tank gear as much as possible before I start throwing him in with LFR because I don't want to be one of those tanks that get screamed at right away. And, you know,
yeah.
I'm kind of do that, but
can't you tank
and
with
then,
your flex team?
well, we've already got a couple tanks and maybe like one or two backups, so I haven't really
Oh,
asked
okay.
him if I could. I brought the monk along 1 week for the first wing, and
Yeah.
he got a couple pieces off that. So, but I'm actually probably going to bring my paladin over to Airy Peak as well and try and tank with him some in Warlords probably, because I dig pally tanking too. It's nice having this huge big armored dude. So yeah, but that's and then occasionally I'll go to Stone Core and try for the mount from there. That's the one I'm really working on, the most right now of any mount, is trying to get that one.
Okay. Oh, wow. So you're keeping busy when you're in the game anyway. So very cool. All right. Well, let's talk about you've been playing this game for quite some time. What then is the thing that keeps you coming back to it? You know, it's there, you have to say there has to be something because you've been playing the game since, since 2005. So what is it that keeps you coming back to playing WoW?
Well, it's for the longest time it was my friends, and the fact that I do have a traveling job and I'm only home during the holidays, really. That's the only time I'm guaranteed to be home, is for like 6 or 8 weeks at a time. And that's a heck of a lot of the year to be gone and away from home and your family and friends. And so it's a way to connect. It had always been a way to connect with my friends and my family and do stuff with them. But with the third shift part, I only get to play, during the mornings over here before I go to bed, and so it's not really a good time to play. So I kind of just it was it got to a point where I was playing it because I was bored, because I can't take anything else with me, so I just bring my laptop, and so I have to play it. And I was like, well, it's a fun game, and I really like the story, and I love all the characters and all the the way the different classes play. So I was, I'm genuinely interested in the game. But since I started my podcast work and, getting to know people in the community, that way, it's really kind of, rebirthed that sense of community in the one as one of the reasons why I like the game, especially post BlizzCon. But even before then, getting to play and work and talk with these people in the game that I get to work with outside of the game, it really kind of brought it all together. And so I really, really enjoyed that. I love Rem and Jules from Tauren Think Tank, and so I have a Tauren Paladin that I put over there in Rem's guild, and all the people from Convert to Raid and the other various podcasts. That's why I have a troll in AIE, is because the instance was my inspiration to start podcasting work. And so I made a troll and put him over in AIE, and I enjoy being over there. So it spreads you out a little bit, but I really love the community. I really love It reminds me of my old days in the Matrix Online. It's a different way, but it's still, even as huge as this game is, we've still got our little communities that are still very passionate about the game and passionate about experiencing it with each other. And that's what's so beautiful about our community, and that, it's got that much kind of, for all the bad parts, for all the elitist jerks out there, we've got a lot of people that are just genuine people that genuinely love the game and the community. So I think it balances it out. But there's more
That's
good than
right.
bad.
Well, that's what I was gonna talk to you about next was your podcast and the audio segments that you do for various shows. So how did you get interested in one, doing a podcast and two, doing all these audio segments?
Well, I went to college for broadcast journalism, so I was and I worked a little bit in college radio. We have a small NPR station at where I went to college, and so I did a weekly blues show with an old retired electrician who was like he was like an encyclopedia of knowledge of blues music. And so I learned a whole lot about that doing the show with him, and so it was a great experience. And I also did commercials and other bits of behind the scenes work, and really that's what lit my interest in doing radio. And after graduating, I didn't work there anymore, and so I was and, well, actually in college, one of my last semesters, they offered a class on podcasting, and I was like, well, this is cool. I bet you this is kind of neat. I'll I'll take the class. And only six of us in the class. It was a very small summer course.
Yeah.
And the very first day, the professor said, okay, I want you to go on iTunes and I want you to find five podcasts about that interest you, that are about your interests, your hobbies, stuff like that. I want you to listen to an episode. I want you to write a summary on, you know, what it's about, what's it called, you know, what they talked about, and, you know, the kind of just the feel of the show.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I can do that. That's fine. So I went on, and, you know, I love movies. So I found some little movie podcasts that, you know, a couple guys did, and there's other, you know, space sciencey one. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, well, I like World of Warcraft. So I typed that in. And of course the first one that pops up is The Instance.
Yeah.
So, and it's back in the days when Randy was there.
Yeah.
And so I gave it a listen. I was like, man, this is great stuff. This is really cool. Mm. I like this. And so that was that first assignment. And so I just kept on listening. And, you know, after they do the regular show, they'll have all of the little segments at the end.
Mm.
And, you know, this is a couple of years later and I'm still listening to them. And I was just thinking, you know, Aludra does really good work with her pet segments. And I was already, the fires had already lit for me to be a mount collector already.
Mm-hmm.
It happened the day one of my roommates, he had collected 50 mounts and got the albino Drake.
Nice.
And yeah. I was like, ooh, what's that? And he's like, oh, it's the albino Drake. You get it for getting 50 mounts. Ooh, I like that. I'm gonna have to get that.
Yeah.
You know, and I started, and then I haven't stopped. So yeah. I was already a big mount collector, and I was thinking, you know, maybe I ought to do a segment on, you know, mount collecting or something. Mm-hmm. You know, and my wife was saying, well, yeah, you should. And she really kind of helped coach me through that first episode that I did about the I think it was the Dark Moon Fair. Yeah, it was the Dark Moon Fair. The bird, the Strider, and the Dancing Bear. Yeah. And so I...
That's right. I remember that. Yes. Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was my gosh.
That was my first one. I was so nervous.
Mm-hmm.
So nervous getting that out there. But, you know, I did that, and I just kept going with it for a good long time. And just putting out these different mounts. You know, I like to research mounts. I love the idea of... certain mounts we can't possibly get anymore. Like my biggest regret is never getting the Swiftzulian Tiger out of the original ZG.
Yeah.
Because that thing is beautiful. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
And I'm so jealous of people with it.
Yeah, me too.
I'll give you a quick side story if you want about another. This goes back to a memorable moment in WoW, but not so good one.
Okay.
So good one, but a funny one. Okay. Sorry, it gets off track, but it's okay. Speaking of ZG,
mm-hmm.
I lived with another roommate at the time, my friend Cade, and he and I were playing in the living room. You know, he had started a paladin, and my hunter, you know, leveled up with him because through recruit a friend to get him up to max level. And so we're doing stuff, and they asked me, my other friends online asked me, he's like, hey man, we're gonna go do a ZG run. You've got the mounts if they drop. I'm like, oh sweet, yeah, I'll go with you guys.
Mm-hmm.
And so I bring my roommate along with me. And we're going through it and everything, and oh, the tiger doesn't drop. Well, we get to the raptor boss, and the raptor drops.
Yep.
The raptor drops, and I'm sitting there shaking with excitement. I'm like, I get them out. Everybody's whispering me, dude, grats, dude. And I click need, and my roommate, who is level 52 and cannot ride them yet, because back then you could only ride them at level 60,
yep.
Clicks need and wins the mount.
Oh, no.
And my whole body goes cold, just ice cold. And I just freeze. And I kind of just turn my chair around like I'm doing right now over my shoulder. And I'm staring lasers into the back of his head. Oh,
wow.
Man.
What was he thinking? Was he just...
He was like, hey, that's cool. And he clicked it. And he's like, hey, I want that too. And he got it. So...
Yep.
So he has the raptor, the Rasashi, Swift Rasashi raptor.
Yep.
And he eventually hit level 60 and could learn it. And he likes to ride around on it whenever he's in game.
Uh-huh.
And I see him to rub it in my face.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So yeah.
Oh, okay. So you're still friends. Okay. That's...
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. He's still one of my other best friends. I wasn't going to, I certainly was quite irate for a bit. And I did not like that, but you know, I lived with him, so I couldn't really do anything to him, you know. They would find the body eventually, so
yeah,
like, that's rules that out.
Yeah,
I don't know his password, so I couldn't take his account. So
wow.
But no, he and I are best friends. I may get to see him tomorrow when I drive back up to do Santa. So
okay.
In fact, I got a couple presents for him at BlizzCon too. So.
Okay, well, just make sure you say about the raptor. Just say no hard feelings. You know.
I've done that, and every once in a while, I'll be like, "So how's the raptor treating you?" And he'll just grin.
Yeah.
He's like, "Fine."
Nice.
But no, we're still good friends. But yeah, that was a tale worth telling, I figured. So.
Yeah. Wow. That's, yeah. Ouch. I feel your pain. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, let's slightly just get back on track for 2 seconds.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry. I had to diverge. I just
okay.
had to tell
that's
you that
an
story.
Awesome story. I love this story. So what I wanted to ask you about, so Azeroth After Hours has been the podcast that you have done since doing the audio segment. So you started off, you submitted the one to the instance, and of course you've gone from there, but you do a podcast, and you were telling me before that even though it hasn't have a hiatus at the moment, but you are hoping to bring it back soon.
Yes, we've had a few months off because of a lot of real life does come first, unfortunately,
yeah.
And a lot of stuff has come up, but not only for me, but for my co-host as well.
Yeah.
But things are starting to settle. She just started her own podcast about it's a book review podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily WoW books, but just fantasy sci-fi. So she's starting that as her own project, and you know, pretty soon I want to bring back Azeroth After Hours. So
cool.
I am planning on bringing it back, and so people should look for it. And if they want, they can go back and listen to the old episodes. But yeah, we're looking to bring it back and kind of, you know, streamlining the content, making it a little bit, quicker and, easier to listen to, I guess, a little bit.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's cool. But until then, obviously you will be doing more audio contributions to various shows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's some things in the pipeline for, Taran Think Tank, especially. I love doing
awesome
segments for them.
We've
got the whole Julesbot saga to bring to a close eventually.
Oh,
so I'm kind
cool.
of
yeah.
I'm kind of working on what we're going to do next,
yeah.
And it's hopefully it's going to come around pretty well. So
nice.
You know, we got an epic storyline deserves an epic ending. So
okay,
I'm going to do that, and I'm looking to actually bring back my Mount Up segments because something I need to do after the show is actually update it with the last 5 or 6 that I did, because my blog that has all of them to listen to is out of date.
Okay.
So I've got a few that I need to put up there, and I need to actually start making more of them.
Cool.
So I'll be
yes.
doing that soon as well.
Awesome. Well, I'll put links up on the show's blog page as well. So if people want to go check out, listen to Makonnen, and I'll have all the information there. So excellent. All right. Well, that's good. I can't wait to see what you have in store for 2014. I love listening to the stuff that you create. So I'm very, I'm just excited to see what you come up with. Can I
Thank you.
Ask one little favor?
You
sure. Know, you know your troll voice that you can do?
Mm-hmm.
Any chance that we can get a troll voice?
Anything you want me to say?
No, I don't care. I just thought it was very, very good. So.
Well, Miss Lita, it'd be an honor for him to let me out and talk to you for a minute, because I too am a fan of Behind the Avatar, and I just want to say you do good work. Keep it up, and occasionally, let more gnomes on, because they cause quite a riot, I hear.
Oh, that's awesome.
Get back in your cage.
Oh, you do a troll voice so well.
Thank you.
That's awesome.
I have been working on my gnome voice as well.
Oh, okay. Is that Markonen's gnome voice?
Yeah, that's pretty much his. It's close to like the standard gnome voice, but yeah, that's his.
Nice.
I've been a little sick lately, so my throat's not back 100%, but yeah. I can do the troll with a sore throat. It's just the gnome I can't.
Yeah. No, that's so cool. Thank you for doing that. That's awesome.
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. I love that voice.
It's one of the best troll voices. Hello, Metzen. Talk to Mark Conan. Anyway, so
Yes, please.
Yeah. All right, let's get back on track. I've got a few more questions for you. So, what I wanted to know is there anything that you would like to see Blizzard implement into World of Warcraft?
Dance Studio. Okay. No, I'm kidding.
Okay. I was like, what? Okay.
I had to. Nice. Oh, let's see. One thing I would love to see them do is kind of tweak the transmogrification. I think they're talking about doing it for Reaper of Souls on Diablo, where you can save the pattern but destroy the armor, so that it can. Because see, like in the Matrix Online, when you got a piece of clothing, you could decompile it, which is the same thing as disenchanting.
Okay.
But when you disenchanted it, you learned the pattern. And so that you could go back and make it again.
Oh, right.
And if they could make it, which was really, that was another thing. I was a big clothes fanatic, and what, you know, because in the Matrix we didn't have mounts or anything, but we just had clothes. So I was a big clothing guy. So transmogrification is right up my alley. So I would just decompile all the clothes I could find. Now, if they had a system in WoW where you could, in a sense, disenchant the clothes, but remember the visualization for it and have that still appear in your transmog.
That'd be cool.
That way you could free up all this bag space. Because trust me, I tweeted a picture a lot not long ago, because I've switched out all my bags for royal satchels now.
Yeah.
And it's still full of mostly clothes.
Yeah. I know, you're paying.
Yeah. So if they had that, you know, that would free up easily 100, 150 bag spots for me, let alone, you know, the normal player.
Yeah.
And I think that would be a way to, going forward, that would be a way for people to, you know, because I love the tier sets. I love collecting them, all that stuff. But it gets to be, you know, eventually we're going to have way more sets than we have room for.
Mm.
And I know people are just like, well, you can just go back and farm the first couple tiers easy. I was like, yeah, I know, but that takes time and effort. Mm. And I don't have neither.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I think one of the most annoying things is when you've had it in the past and you've had to get rid of it, and then you want it again, so you've still got to go farm it. It's like, can't we just have a spot to just put this stuff that I can go clicky clicky? I've had it and I've still got it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's where I think a feature like the one I'm hoping that they eventually put in comes into play, because that way you can you know have it, you know, put a price on it, you know, like for 10 gold you can archive these gloves, or you know, however much, because then that'd be like 100, you know, 80 or 100 gold per transmog outfit, and I think that's reasonable.
Yeah,
you know, you make it a penalty for being a hoarder, but you know, hey, I think that, you know, I know that, yeah. But I think that's the first thing that jumps out to me as something they could add.
Yeah.
And of course more mounts, you know, that are more mounts. I love the diversity of mounts in Mists of Pandaria. Absolutely love it. All the different types, color variations. I'm in love with the cloud serpents. I love those things.
They are beautiful. Yep.
Oh
yeah.
I farmed Howlon, the one on the Timeless Isle.
Yep.
I farmed him on four characters on four different servers until I got him.
Excellent.
I had to have him.
Yeah.
I had to have him.
I'm still
luckily
trying.
Yeah. Well, once you get him, like I didn't really want to go to the Timeless Isle anymore, because I was like, yay, I got the only reason I'm here.
Yeah.
Now there's a few other pets that I could get, but I need a break from this island.
Isn't that funny? I've finished the rep grind and I'm still going back there. I must have an unnatural thing for Timeless Isle. I just keep going back.
You just reminded me I have to finish my rep grind for Xiaohao, because
there you
I don't have the golden serpent.
There
I
you
don't
go.
Have the golden cloud serpent. Oh,
I do.
I'm not exalted yet. I've got enough coins,
go
but
on,
I'm not exalted yet.
Go do it. It
okay,
is a gorgeous.
Let me get back in.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so beautiful.
It is very, very stunning. But Hulon's mount, for the other, you know, for the other spectrum of being dark, the black, it just, oh, nice. Yeah, truly, truly.
I love lightning on it. It's so beautiful.
I know. The lightning is super awesome. So awesome. Yeah, cool. Okay, well, then another question I've got is, what is one skill that you have learned through playing WoW that you now use in real life?
Well, I would say it's not just from WoW, but from also the other MMOs that I've played before. It's the ability to see through a situation and see both sides and be able to come to a decision or an arrangement that helps both parties, you know, because conflict comes up. And I was a guild master in the Matrix, and we had issues come up in the game, and I don't know if it's that part of me that comes through and that I've been able to develop it because of the game, or if it's something that I pulled kind of from the game. It may be both.
Yeah.
That, you know, I always tend to be the peacemaker. I don't like conflict if I can't help it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I want to be able to fix a situation and not just fly off the rails on one side or the other, or, you know, team up with one side of the debate or the other. I want to come to some kind of resolution that helps both people to where they can understand each other.
Yeah.
And I think that the social interactions we have in our online games, especially WoW, because, you know, that's what I play predominantly, kind of has helped me, you know, develop that and refine that mm-hmm. ability.
Okay.
You know, and because things will, even at work, things will come up at work, and I'm like, you can't say that. It's not like this. You can't make that an assumption because of this, and like, you just need to shut up. I'm like, no, listen.
Yeah.
You know, and try to explain the situation. And, you know, not everybody wants to hear it. Not everybody wants to think logically about a situation, especially in the heat of the moment. But, you know, to be able to let them cool off and then explain to them the entirety of the situation and how we can move forward as a team.
Yeah.
You know, is something that is good to have. And I think that the interactions I've had with players and with other people in the game has helped me develop that. So,
yeah.
If anything, it'd be that. Also, the, you know, getting better at producing audio work, because this is having this game as a resource and something to pull from has really, you know, helped my imagination and my ability to do all this kind of audio engineering type stuff. So I think both of those I kind of pulled from, you know, the game is responsible for that.
Okay. That's all. Well, that's awesome. That's two very good answers. So thank you. sharing. Yeah, that's great. Okay, I've got some quick questions. Are you ready for them?
I hope so.
Okay. All right. I promise. They're not too evil. I promise. Okay. Ready?
Okay.
Favorite color?
Ready. Orange.
Favorite food?
Bacon cheeseburger.
Ooh. Favorite movie?
Oh, gosh. Back to the Future.
Oh, one, two, or three?
I would say one because it set the stage for the other two. But I like three because you got that old juxtaposition of Marty being the logical thinking one and Doc being the, you know, the in love kind of almost teenager in the way he's acting. And plus the soundtrack for that's amazing, too. They take all these little pieces that Alan Silvestri has put together and just he goes in different directions with it. Yeah. And incorporates all this. I'm a big music guy, too, so I dig all that stuff.
Yeah, cool. Okay, so we'll go Back to the Future 1, that the first. Mm-hmm. It's a good one. All right, what about favorite sports team?
Oh, my goodness. I'm not the gigantic. I'm not the biggest sports guy.
Okay.
So I'd have to go with my alumni, Arkansas State Red Wolves.
Okay. All righty. Cool.
Yeah. So let's go with my alumni.
Woohoo. All right. Go them. Favorite drink?
Mountain Dew.
Favorite TV show?
Right now it's Doctor Who. Doctor Who and Star Trek Next Generation.
Okay. Oh, two good calls. All right. Favorite ice cream flavor?
Cookies and cream.
Oh, okay. Favorite type of coffee?
Not a big coffee drinker, but I like the caramel frappuccino from Starbucks because it doesn't taste like coffee.
Okay.
This is very sweet.
Yeah, I was going to say that it would be very sweet. Okay, well, that's good. A few quick quick questions there. It's always nice to hear people's answers, and I've added a couple of new ones, so yeah, so that's good. Okay, so I've got one more question for you. It's
okay.
Your most important question you're ever going to be asked, ever, anywhere.
Oh boy.
Ever. It's a huge question. So you might have to really think about it, okay? Right? You ready? You bracing yourself for it?
I have white knuckle syndrome on my hands here, just gripping the desk. So yes, I think I'm ready.
Okay.
Oh boy.
Okay. All right. Well, I have this obsession. I'm just going to admit it, okay, people, because they're all probably rolling their eyes when I say, you know, I have this slight obsession. I have this obsession with pets and pet collecting. So I have a few. I won't say how many because it's really scary, but what is your favorite companion pet?
Oh, my goodness. I remember this being the most important question. I'm scrolling through all the ones that I have right now to try and remember which one's my favorite. Well, let's see. Which one?
And you can't say all of them because that's kind of my...
No. Well, let's see here. There's a couple of them that are my favorites because they hold sentimental value.
Yeah.
My little Ragnaros, I won from a contest on Torrent Think Tank.
Yeah.
So I've got him. And let's see. You're killing me here. Okay, I'll go ahead and say my favorite one is my ghostly skull, Bob.
Ghostly because, skull. Cool.
Yep, his name is Bob because I'm a gigantic fan of the book series The Dresden Files, and it's about a wizard. It's like urban fantasy meets mystery, and it's his go-to guy is a talking skull named Bob, who likes. Okay. Who likes romance novels and pornographic films. And he's quite a character. So.
Oh, wow. All right.
Yeah. So, yeah. And his name is Bob, so that's why I named him Bob.
You called him Bob.
And he's actually my... Yes, he's on my team. I only have 3 level 25 pets.
Mm-hmm.
And he's one of the 3. Just because I wanted to level Bob.
Nice. So,
I'll go ahead and claim him as my favorite.
Who's the other 2?
Talking skull.
Who's the other 2 on your team?
The Cinder Kitten and Mojo, because I was like, well, Cinder Kitten, I love the Cinder Kitten, so I had to get it.
Yeah.
And then I figured I need something that could heal itself in moments of where I just need to stall, so I got Mojo from Zulaman.
Okay.
I'm wanting to get back into, you know, pet collecting and stuff, so I need to improve my team, so I may ask you for some tips.
Well, you know, there's a lot of us that do love our pets and pet collecting, so I mean, definitely.
I only have 241 total pets, what? So I need some help.
Yeah, definitely. What? What?
That's like nuts. That's like none of...
What am I gonna do with you? It's 241. Okay, we need to talk. No, that's.
I need a roadmap. Roadmap for being an awesome pet trainer, and I need your help.
Oh, help me, Lily. We can do that. We can definitely do that. Okay, look, I want to say thank you so much for coming to chat with me. It's been a huge amount of fun. I've completely enjoyed myself today. What I would like is, do you want to tell people where they can get in contact or where they can find you?
Well, sure. Yeah. Well, the quickest way to get to me is on Twitter. My handle is at MarconinWow. That's at MarconinWow. Alternatively, you can email me at MarconinWow@gmail.com. Mm-hmm. And if you want to go back and watch or listen to the old Mount Up segments, you can find that at MarconinWow.blogspot.com. And the address for Azeroth After Hours is azerothafterhours.com. And hopefully we'll be bringing that back soon here in the next couple months, as well as some more Mount Up segments that you will hopefully get to hear on the instance. And I've also got some extra stuff in the works for Tauren Think Tank, both WoW and non-WoW. Well, they're all WoW related, but some are audio segments, some are different things. So yeah. I'm not going to give away too much. Ooh. But I've got some ideas in the pipeline.
Yeah. Oh, excellent. Oh, well,
although
can't
wait. Something similar to the intro for the holiday episode this past week on Tauren Think Tank. Something along those lines.
Okay.
I'll just say that.
Okay. All right. Well, that'll be interesting. So. Oh, cool. Good. Well, again, thank you for coming to chat with me. So, it's been an absolute pleasure.
Well, thank you for having me on.
Do you know that on any given week there are over 50 World of Warcraft podcasts releasing a new episode? Hi, I'm Ro, and if you're looking for new shows or just want to be updated with what's happening with your favorites, then Realm Maintenance is a show you won't want to miss. Realm Maintenance is a WoW podcast that focuses on all of the other WoW podcasts out there. Each week you'll hear an interview with hosts from a featured show, as well as a rundown of news and events happening with many other WoW podcasts in the community. As for WoW news itself, well, you'll get the short version as I break down the past week's headlines in under 80 seconds. You can find the show on iTunes, Stitcher, and at realm-maintenance.com, and a new episode is released every Tuesday. You can also find a podcast directory and a guide to when and where many shows live stream the recording of their next episode. When the servers go down, I'll tell you what's up. Follow the show on Twitter at Realm Podcast.
You can find Behind the Avatar podcast on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. You can contact the show by sending an email to behindtheavatar@gmail.com. Also, you can follow me on Twitter at LaterWow and the show at Behind the Avatar. Also, for things geeky, you can listen to Ben, Steve, and myself on Geektopia podcast and follow us on Twitter at Geektopia Show. You can also find me with Aprillion, Tidra, and Rogue Slayer on Control Alt WoW. Follow the show at Control Alt WoW and check us out live every week. Behind the Avatar is a World of Warcraft gaming podcast produced by Lita, copyright 2013. Portions of this podcast belong entirely to Blizzard Entertainment and other contributors. Audios used belong to Kevin MacLeod, and you can find his music at incomnitech.com. No copyright infringement is intended.
Well, Miss Lita, it'd be an honor for him to let me out and talk to you for a minute, because I too am a fan of Behind the Avatar, and I just want to say you do good work. Keep it up, and occasionally, you know, let more gnomes on, because they cause quite a riot, I hear.
Oh, that's awesome.
Get back in your cage.